Abraham Lincoln said, "God bless my mother. All that I am and all that I will ever be, I owe to my blessed mother." Today's Mother's Day. Precious day. Happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful moms out there today. Mothers, you have my utmost respect. Another maxim, and I think it's a good one, it says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. I'm in the clergy, amen. And I'll tell you what, I'll take mama and her apron strings any day over 10 preachers, amen. It's amazing what moms do. Mothers have so many different roles. Mothers are teachers, amen. Some things that mothers have taught us through the years. Mothers have taught us about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. Mothers have taught us about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. Mothers have taught us about meeting a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me. Mothers have taught us about logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. Mothers have taught us about medical science. If you don't stop making that face, it's going to freeze that way. Mothers have taught us about thinking ahead. If you don't pass that spelling test, you'll never get a good job. Mothers have taught us about humor. When the lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. Mothers have taught us about becoming an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. Mothers have taught us about genetics. You're just like your father. Mothers have taught us about our roots. What do you think? We were born in a barn? Close the door, amen. Mothers have taught us about the wisdom that comes with age. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. Mothers have taught us about the processes of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of it. And mothers have taught us about justice. One day, you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Amen. Mothers are teachers. Amen. Mothers are gourmet chefs. If Kraft mac and cheese counts as gourmet chef. Amen. Mothers are wrestlers. I'll tell you what, we had a young man in our youth group when I was a youth pastor in Massachusetts, and he was a district champion wrestler. Now, to you that are out here, I'm not talking about the kind that's on TV that you ought not to be watching. Amen. Okay? I'm talking about the old high school, college, get down on the mat. And I remember I went to one meet. It was actually the night of our sweetheart banquet. And so I got helped our church get set up for our sweetheart banquet. And then I went to this one meet. And it was the only meet I got to see this young man from our youth group. And he was in the district championship. And I'm going to tell you something. I never saw a person exert themselves more in their life. I want to say it's 6 minutes long. 2 minutes, three periods of 2 minutes. And I'm telling you that I saw him. He got ahead early, and he really stalled the other guy out. And I just, every vein was, you know, I think about moms and how they wrestle. You know what? Moms wrestle death in childbirth. They literally wrestle with death. May I say, if your mother is living, never forget that. Never forget that. She wrestled death just to bring you into this world. I'd say she deserves your respect. Amen. Now, the Bible says it for me, honor thy father and mother, amen. But she wrestled. I think of moms, how they wrestle impatience in raising children. Hey, I'm a dad. I have three children. I love them. I miss them. They've been gone 31 days. They'll be back Thursday, Lord willing. 6, 5, and 1. My wife goes away for 2 hours and says, can you take care of the kids? Can you watch them? Yep. She comes back in two hours, sometimes a little bit longer, and I'll look at her, Brother Horsch, and say, where have you been? They do that every day, men. Every day. They wrestle impatience in raising children. They wrestle death in childbirth. They wrestle dirt in the home, and all God's mom said. They wrestle the world for their influence of their child. Appreciate each mom that does that. Dear mom in our congregation today says, my kids go to public school, I have to detox them when they come home. That's wrestling. That's wrestling. Wrestling for influence. And then wrestling against Satan's hordes for their hearts. And really, like Jacob, mothers really wrestle with God. They wrestle with God. They say, I won't let you go until you bless my children. Thank God for moms. Patience and prayer and the pattern that they put forth, certainly something we could all admire and seek in our own lives. Well, our text today is in Matthew chapter 1, and some of you got nervous when we started reading that. You said, Pastor, those are the texts I always avoid. Those are the begat and the begat and the begat and the begat and the begat. And I don't even really know why God has those in His Bible except to annoy me. Well, I promise you that there's purpose there. This is what's known as the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It traces Jesus Christ all the way back to Abraham. And remember when, just a couple pages earlier in your Bible, when the book of Malachi was penned, that last book of the Old Testament, for 400 years, God had not spoken at all. Longest period in His history. And then in Matthew 1:1, God breaks forth. And some key things have happened in between these passages. Persia, that once mighty empire, is a memory. And the empire that vanquished Persia was Greece, and they came to power so quickly and so fast. And Alexander, at 33 years old, wept because there were no more worlds to conquer. But Brother Ewald, his empire's gone now too. Gone. But by the way, it left something very important along the way. It left the Koine, or common, Greek language from which your New Testament is translated from. Oh, it's long gone. Thank God we have it in English. Amen. God knows what He's doing. And now Rome is on the scene here in Matthew chapter 1. They're quote-unquote ruling the world. By the way, if you read Luke chapter 2, the Christmas account, the other Christmas account, we find out who's really ruling the world, and that's God. We thought it was Caesar's decree that brought Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. I'm here to tell you it was the hand and providence of God that allowed that. And here's Rome, and we read this passage, and we read the begat, the begat, the begat. You say, Pastor, I didn't realize I was going to have a spelling test on Mother's Day, amen? Trying to get through all those names. I know I was right there with you, amen? But can I say that, yes, looking at a passage like this, yes, there are drier portions of the Bible, but can I also say this? Never let yourself become bored with God's Word. This is God's very Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:15 admonishes us to study to show yourself approved unto God. And I want to show you something out of this passage if I could, because there's so much in this passage that we could learn from. And by the way, part of the purpose of the Old Testament is given in Romans 15:4. It talks about that we may have comfort and hope through the Scriptures, that they were written for our learning, to teach us some things. And we can learn chiefly from this passage that we just read, that Jesus Christ loves and identifies with sinners. He allowed Himself to be born in the line of each of these people. But for our purposes today, I want to look, if we could, at four mothers. There are really five in the text, if we count Mary. We will not deal with Mary today. But if you look back with me at verse 3 through 6, and follow along here, you'll find four mothers in this text. It says, "And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar." Very rare that ladies are included in genealogies. Very rare. Then if you jump down to verse number 5, it says, "And Salmon begat Boaz of Rachab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias." So, four mothers here. Tamar, Rachab, Ruth, and the wife of Urias. We know them as Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. Each one of them talked about in the Old Testament. I want you to notice that I'm going to give you four points today, and then we'll be done. I know many of you have got lunch today, but I want you to please just give me your attention for about the next 20 minutes. First of all, number one, I want you to notice their past. Each one of these mothers had a past. Tamar, we remember in Genesis 38, married a man named Ur. And Ur was so wicked that God slew him. And then, as was the custom, if a brother died, the younger brother, if he was not married, would marry on up and raise seed. And Onan was Ur's younger brother, and Onan realized that the children wouldn't be his, and he did not want that, and God slew him. And so here's Tamar now, she's twice a widow. And Judah promises that when his young son Shelah is grown, that Tamar will marry Shelah. But what happens is Shelah grows up and Judah, the father of these boys, forgets all about it. Forgets all about it. By the way, it's better not to vow a vow than to vow and to break it, the Bible says. Well, to keep our word, amen. And so what happens here is Judah comes up to the town where Tamar is, and Tamar pretends to be a prostitute. That's a past, folks. That's a past. And Judah comes in and he goes and to see Tamar, not knowing it's Tamar, thinking it's a prostitute. And Tamar gets pregnant through that adulterous action. And so here she is with a past, feigning to be a prostitute. The next mother, Rahab, did not have to pretend to be a prostitute. She was a prostitute. She was somebody who sold herself for money. May I say this, and I read this in a commentary as I was studying on this, many times women that end up in that are sinned against more than they are sinners. For it's the lust of man that produces prostitution. If men could control themselves, come on, help me, men. If men could control themselves, there'd be none of that. But there she was. She was a prostitute. She is referred to over and over in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as Rahab the harlot. Ruth is a bit different. Ruth was a Gentile. She was a Moabite. She was from an idolatrous and tribe that was going to be judged. But thank God she met Naomi and began to develop some character from her godly mother-in-law. But then the fourth, of course, Bathsheba, had a past, didn't she? You remember the story? There she was bathing, and the king, David, when he was supposed to be out to battle, supposed to be out with his men, saw her bathing. And by the way, I don't believe that was Bathsheba's fault. There was a time when the women bathed, there was a time when the men bathed, and people knew not to be out in those places. David saw her and he brought her to himself. And I always think about that one soldier there, Brother Case, who said, you know, that's the wife of Uriah, just in case you wanted to know. But what happened? Committed adultery. And a baby was born that died later, a child. So each one of these mothers had a past. You know, by the way, we still encourage purity at the marriage altar.
Amen.
Don't we?
Amen.
Amen. We still encourage the white dress. And by the way, you have to have a right to wear white. I've gotten in so much trouble. I never get in trouble at a funeral, but I get in trouble at weddings. When I'll tell a dear lady, ma'am, you can wear a cream dress, but you can't wear a white dress. Yeah, I'm sorry. And I marry who I want. You say, were you the pastor here? I have to marry whoever comes. I do not either. Amen. Marry whoever I want.
Yes.
But I will tell you this. If you have a past, it doesn't mean you're not fit to be a mother.
Amen.
It's true, right?
Amen.
I love the verse in 1 Corinthians 6:11. In verses 9 and 10, it talks, there's a sin list a mile long. Adulterers, effeminate, abusers with themselves, with mankind, drunkards. And then it says this, and such were some of you. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified through the blood of Christ. Amen. If you're a mom here today, and maybe you had that little baby out of wedlock, you listen to me, God loves you.
Amen.
And here we have four women with a past and three of them with a very scarlet past. Right smack dab in the line of Christ. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Counseled with somebody one time, and my wife, so wise in these matters, somebody that had a child out of wedlock, she said, you know what? You have sinned, but that baby is not a sin. Amen? I think that about sums it up, doesn't it? Thank God.
Amen.
Their past. All four of them had a past. Well, you know what else? Secondly, I want you to notice their privilege. What was the privilege that each one of them had? Each one of them had the privilege of being a mother. There's old Tamar, and she has twins. Phares and Zerah. Genesis 38 and 27 through 30 tells us. And there's old Ruth and Obed there. Ruth, they have Obed, Rahab is where I wanted to go there. Rahab. She has Boaz. And that's amazing. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But then, we see there Obed and Ruth. And Ruth begats Obed here. And then Bathsheba. Of course, we remember she had the little baby. It's interesting that baby's not named. We don't know the name of that baby. But we do know that she had another baby. The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 12:24 that David comforted Bathsheba. And she had a baby named Solomon. What a privilege it is to be a mother. What a privilege it is. I always think, and I don't think I've ever preached on it on Mother's Day. It's probably the most popular Mother's Day text, and that's 1 Samuel on Hannah.
Yeah.
And how bad she wanted to be a mama. She just, I know we've got ladies in this room, you just want to be a mama so bad. What a privilege it is. I know the devil's used feminism. Forgive me if I'm offending anybody, but the devil's used feminism to try to diminish motherhood.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you something. There's not a higher calling before God than to be a mother.
Yes,
what a privilege. What a privilege. Oh, you may not live in the best home. You may have, like us, you may have crayon marks on the wall. Amen. And dents in the sheetrock. Amen. I wouldn't trade any of that. I wouldn't trade any of that. What a privilege. They were so privileged to bring forth their children. What was not only their past, they each had a past, and their privilege also, by the way, they each had the privilege of being in the lineage of Christ. What a privilege that was. But their products is what I want you to see next. Their past and their privilege and their products. Tamar gave birth to Phares, and not very much is known about Phares. There was the Pharisites that came from him in Numbers 26:20, but not much is known. But can I say the next one really just blesses my heart? Boaz. Rahab the harlot gave birth, Brother Lawley, to Boaz. And those of you that know your Bible know that Boaz made it his business to protect helpless young women. Where do you think he learned that?
Mama.
Right on Mama's knee. Right on Mama's knee, who had experienced the salvation of God and seen the goodness of God in her life. And she, I don't know, Brother Case, I don't think she told her all the gory stories, but I think she told her, you be a good boy, you protect women, you look after the weaker vessel, as the Bible says. And Boaz did. I love that. I love that. I think about, and I preached on before, I think about those, that time that Jochebed had with Moses, and all of Egypt couldn't drive out what she taught him. On her knee. When he got to that point of decision, he said, you know what? I'm going to be the next Pharaoh, but I'd rather be here with the people of God in affliction than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Where do you get that? Mother. 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 We see Boaz, the product. Next, we see Obed, who was the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. Incredible. And then, of course, Bathsheba's little boy, Solomon, who became the wisest man that ever lived. And if you enjoy the book of Proverbs, you can thank Bathsheba when you get to heaven. Amen? Solomon, the product. Incredible. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Their past, their privilege, their product, and their provision. Their provision. What did Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba have that you mothers today so desperately need? I'll tell you what it is. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know what the provision was for when Tamar had those babies and Rahab had that baby and Ruth had that baby and Bathsheba had that baby and when you had that baby and when you, dear sister, had that baby? You know what it was? It was the amazing, powerful, abundant, sufficient grace of God. God's grace. God's grace. Oh, how we need God's grace in our lives. And in the lives of our children, we need God's grace. Say, God, be gracious. And by the way, the Siamese twin of grace is mercy. God, my boy's away. My grandboy's away. Be merciful, God. Be gracious, please. God, please be gracious to them. They're just coming up. They're just learning. God, give me your grace to be able to teach them. God, give me your grace to be able to live for you that they could see you through me. Their provision is God's grace. God's grace. Oh, how we need God's grace. Paul said as he had the thorn in the flesh, and we don't know what it was, but he said that he prayed 3 times for it to be removed. God's answer was no. But we don't like to think of God that way. We kind of sometimes think of Him as a prayer genie. He's supposed to do what we want. No, He's not. We're supposed to do what He wants. Paul asked 3 times. He said, "Please remove this thorn." And God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Amen. Hey, maybe you're a mom here today and you don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know how the month and the money is going to end up. You don't know how it's all going to work together. Can I tell you this? His grace is sufficient. Right, Miss Joanne? Widowed. With just a 1-year-old boy. His grace is sufficient. Amen? His grace is sufficient. Hey, and we could go mom, story after story after story after story. Those mothers would say, His grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
That's the provision. The provision is His grace. The product is raising children. Raising children. Why don't you, mom, raise those boys that you would have wanted to marry a long time ago? Amen? Why don't you raise girls that would be wonderful wives and mothers just like you? That's the product. The product. The privilege is just being a mama. You know, sometimes we get so lost in the rat race. Isn't it amazing that, boy, I'll tell you what, once you get out of high school, the years fly by. It's amazing. Because you know we go month to month, year to year, decade to decade, amen? It's just absolutely, and we forget of the awesome privilege it is to be a mom, to be a dad, amen? Especially mom. Well, you didn't go on with that career that once you dreamed about as a young girl. Well, you know, they do eventually leave the house. If you do things right, amen? You can pick that up again. You can pick that up again. There's nothing more important than being a mama. No greater privilege. No greater privilege. And then their past. Each one of them had a past. But I'm here to tell you something. We serve a God that is ready, willing, and able to forgive your past and to give you a spotless future. My question here today, as we close, about these 4 mothers is, are you a Christian mother? See, it's one thing to be a good mom. I think my mom was a good mom all those years. But she didn't get saved until later in life. Then she became a Christian mom. Amen. You know what the difference between a good mom and a Christian mom is? Christ. Yes. Christ. Amen. You see, He loves you, mom. 1,000,000 times more than you love those babies. You say, that's not possible. I'll tell you it is. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what happens when you trust Christ as your Savior? You get the Holy Spirit. And when you get the Holy Spirit, you get the power to live for Him. To raise those babies for God. Can I say this? I make any mention of this. Make sure your babies are in church. Make sure they're in church. Oh my goodness, they'll be so influenced towards God, it'll be tough. Now, I'm not saying the devil can't do it, because he has, but it'll be awfully tough for him to break through that wonderful Sunday school teacher like Mrs. Harmon or Mrs. Lawley or Mrs. Sammons or my wife or Brother Sammons, amen, and up into the youth group with Pastor Donald and Miss Marissa. get them in church, amen. But what about you? Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? If you haven't, it's easy. Amen, church?
Amen.
It's not hard. It's just a matter of looking and knowing that you're a sinner, that you can't save yourself. Turning from your good works and turning from your religion and turning from your service and turning from your baptism and turning to Christ. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our story today is about four mothers. But what about you? Mom, dad, young person, boy, girl, man, woman? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Are you living for Christ? It's one thing to say, yes, I'm a Christian. It's another thing to be living for Christ. We're not perfect, and all God's people said.
Amen.
If you're perfect, you can get out. Amen. You're not welcome with the rest of us imperfect people. Amen. You must be visiting from heaven today. We're not perfect. But we're trying to serve the one who is.
Amen.
Father,